say I'm going to be baptized with the water. You see? Good morning, everyone. What a wonderful blessing it is to be here, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, especially among brothers and sisters. It's been really great. And Marie and I have been really blessed. It was our 16th wedding anniversary on Friday. And so we made it a point that we're going to be here. This is my first time in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, folks have a lot of hills here, by the way. But I've never seen that many mountains, you know.
They love flat, too.
Yeah, flat, too. That's right. I was able to run much more than I am in the east, by the way. But that's fantastic. I mean, Maria's been here more than once, twice, right? She's got a sister out here. But nevertheless, we've been a wonderful blessing throughout the weekend. Great, fantastic speakers, right?
Yes.
I'm here to debunk many of their, sayings. And I want to get this straight, too, about God's country. You know? Connecticut is God's country. Let's get this straight once and for all, okay? So let me explain why, because it's in the Bible. I'll show you. The first thing we need to understand, God is not going to go anywhere where he is not needed. Am I right? So if he's needed in Connecticut, that's why it's God's country, okay? So, here's God. So, let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your magnificent word for Christ, for all that you do for us. We thank you so much that you can enlighten us to the mystery, Father, that which binds us together, that we just may continually endeavor to do your will. And we thank you, Father, for this just burning in our inner being continually, Father, that we may do your will and more. We thank you for just continually just immersing us with your love and goodness and all the knowledge that there is, Father. And we thank you for all the preparation that went behind this conference that so many of us may not see the effort that's put behind that. Thank you for the love. And thank you for Barney. Thank you for Kelly. And for all the helpers. And so we thank you for all this. In the blessed name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So let's talk about the conference theme. Let's open up to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Have asked me, so what are you going to talk about? And I keep telling them the truth. I'm going to be talking about my barber. My who? Obama? No, my barber. Like my haircut?
Yeah.
I'll explain that. What happens when you share the mystery? So where are we? Colossians chapter 2.
My barber makes me talk about it when I'm going out.
Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Mm-hmm.
And ye are complete in baptism. No, in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Praise God. What a stupendous verse. And there's so much in there that could be expounded. And I started sharing with you about my barber, and I couldn't help but, as I was going through the conference, to be reminded of by several speakers, whether it was Mike on the need to be prepared. I got it, Mike. I was prepared. I thought I was. And Tony McCartney. From the first evening, where he said, talked about the word being the interesting because that's exactly what I started with when I went to get a haircut. So I was going to talk about my haircut. And so the question was, great, so what are you doing this week? And when am I going to be attending a Bible conference? Oh, a Bible conference. Yes, a Bible conference. So I don't have to tell you where that goes, right? So the next question is, of course, great, so what church do you belong to? And so I, of course, before I got to answer the first part about where the Bible conference is and so forth, then I had to explain what church it was. And so I proceeded, of course, because I was ready, Mike. I was, I thought. Now, understand, this is not just a one-on-one conversation. You know, in the real practical business, you know, you get interruptions. The phone rings, his phone rings, my phone rings. He gets interrupted by the co-workers. Yeah, the towel's over there, you know, so it's not exactly a Bible study, is it? Keep that in mind. You know, because next thing you know, you're being asked, what did you say again about that? So that's important to keep it in the context. But the point is that we're going to be confronted throughout our everyday goings with situations that provide an opportunity. And quite frankly, I wasn't totally expecting it from my barber. And so I want to make sure he stayed focused on my hair too, you know. And God forbid I would offend him, you know.
I didn't come out, okay?
So, naturally, the question was, well, what do you guys do? Well, we focus on the study of the Word. We search the Scriptures. Ah! Now, I happen to have basically also know that he is a believer and more of, you know, churchy going, if you will. Not to condemn him, of course, that's not what I'm saying. But being part of the, you know, Pentecostal, if you will, movement and ministry, so. So I had explained it. Before I got to even explain that, you know, we search the Scriptures and really focus on the Word, the next thing was what I thought and construed as somewhat of a rebuke in that, you know, before you could even search the Scriptures, you know, you need to be born again. And of course, verses started flying out of John. And this is where you're going to obviously come across and needs much prayer. Because you can't receive the Word unless, you, of course, you receive the Spirit, right?
Right.
Amen. You have to have the Spirit with it. And then only then you focus on the message of the Word and what He has to, you know, provide to you for growth. And so, it's going to continue, by the way. This way, by the time I get my next haircut. That's that. So, it reminded me when I heard Tony McCurry talk about the Word, because I basically got to explain how the word logos in the Greek represents the written Word, represents Christ. And so, I don't think he understood, I haven't heard that. It went beyond that to explain, for instance, that the message that Paul spoke about in Ephesians was a different message to a different Gentile than that which was during the book of Acts.
Amen.
And most people like to mishmash all that together. So I must have done a good job because he said, here's my email, here's my phone number, we'll need to hook up.
Oh, wow.
Because I won't be here anymore. Either that or he wanted my business. I'm not sure now. And so he's leaving that place. And so we'll see. I'll keep you posted on the next Bible conference. How's that? So I told you, I was going to talk about my barber. But it's important for us to see the opportunities as they come because we may not be expecting them. So yes, there is a need to be prepared spiritually. If not mentally, because you're going to get rebuked in some way, even like Mike said, if it's in a subtle way. attacks may not necessarily be so blatant, and we know that. The subtle attacks could be in a way of an innuendo. But that's okay, because we're covered by the Word, right? Word covers it all, doesn't it? So, in chapter 2, Colossians, verse 9 and 10, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power." We start off with that word fullness in verse 9, which is that Greek word 4138, pleroma. The word in verse 10 is playful. And that comes, pleroma comes from playful, 4137. So look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 16. Get a sense of this word, pleroma, playful, that Colossians 2, 9, and 10 speak of. So pleroma here in John chapter 1, verse 16, "Of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." That's that completeness. We don't need to add anything else to that, do we?
Amen.
Although the world may think and religion may think so, we do not need to add to that fullness. We have it. We just need to make sure we believe it, understand it, and proclaim it.
Amen.
But we have it. We don't need to be part of anything. We don't need to be told that we need to add to any of this fullness. It is what it is. God meant what He said, and He said what He meant. And you either accept it or reject it.
Amen.
Ephesians 1:23. Now here's talking about, of course, the body. So we'll take it from verse 22, chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 22. "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." We are the fullness of Him.
Amen.
So there's no joining any membership. There's nothing about, you know, signing up, as I was once told, by a particular denomination. We had a 7-page questionnaire before we become members. Okay, we are the fullness.
Amen.
It says it here. Nothing that could be added to this.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Well, let's back it up a little. Verse 16, "That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." You can't add anything to that, can you? Again.
Amen.
It's important that we comprehend what it is that we are complete in. In chapter 4, where He provides us with the gifts, verse 11, And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. 13. For what purpose? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In Christ. In him. Talking about Christ. Should all fullness dwell. Same word. And of course, we know what we just read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, where again, for in him dwelleth all the fullness, that's pleroma, of the Godhead bodily. You know, that completeness that we have when it refers to being complete in him, it can only come from the peace that was shared throughout this conference. To understand, and I mean really understand and plumb the depths of what that peace was, I don't know that we're able to ever fully comprehend what that was that occurred. What happened? What did God complete? But that peace was something that was huge and big. And before we can understand it, we have to understand who is the author of peace. Is it not God himself? Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Chapter 13. Verse 20. Now the God of peace. So we know where that peace comes from, first of all.
There is.
That brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So it's the God of peace that authored peace. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. See, the world only knows the worldly peace. I got to pick out of those bumper stickers. Coexist in peace and bring on peace. Not really fully understanding the scriptural meaning of what true peace really means and what it is and who it comes from. Because unless you do, you can't make a statement of what peace is and what you want peace to be. Because let's face it, there's only one peace. And if you know the Word of God, and you begin to plumb the depths of what that is, it's nothing what the world thinks it is. And we need to make sure that we know what it is. And so that's rightly dividing the Word of God. See, the peace that people think of here on earth is, say, the peace that they imagine or think will happen in the Middle East. That's a joke, isn't it? That will never happen. Yeah. And when it does, we're long gone from here. and so, again, this peace that's being talked about here, very few people really comprehend and understand what it is. So here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And how can you know peace if you don't know the author of peace? That's another thing. Think about that. How can you possibly talk about wanting or knowing peace when you don't even know the God of peace? Chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
What an awesome title. No one can lay any claim to knowing anything there is about peace until you know him first. Makes you want to pause and really think about that. So what about that word peace in the New Testament? It's that Greek word irene. Hopefully I'm pronouncing it right. Is that right, Will Mike? How do you pronounce that? Irene? Irene?
I don't have to see it. Irene.
Irene. I can say that. And it's from Ido, is that right? E-I-R-O. Now why is that so important? Because that means to join. Are we getting it? To join.
Right.
We just began some level of understanding of what peace is in God's eyes first. To join. Ephesians chapter 2. Talks about peace there. Here in chapter 2 really, I think, gives us a real in-depth thought as to what happened, what is peace, and how it was brought about. Until we know this, we can't begin to understand it.
Amen.
Verse 11, chapter 2 of Ephesians. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles. Now, remember that you in past times being Gentiles. Why is he telling us, remember? God must have known that. A lot of people are going to forget easily, huh? And they did. A lot of people have forgotten. In the flesh were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Would you say that takes some mending, some joining to something?
Yep.
Something's broken that needs fixing, and only one person can do it.
Amen.
Verse 13, and I love the emphasis. But now,
amen.
In Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. Praise God.
Amen.
That's where it begins. He is our peace, who hath made both one. Why would God say he is our peace, only to them perceive who have made both? Something that needs mending, both one. And hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance. utterances were to make himself of twain one new man. Not bride. Let's get that straight. Not a bride. One new man. A man's not a bride. A bride's not a man. Or else, God doesn't mean what he says. Or says what he means.
Amen.
So, making what? Peace. There it is. Soul making peace. Soul making peace. So what is it that we here in this ministry are doing with this peace? Do we preach it? Well, look at verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off. What kind of peace do you think he's talking about there? The peace of the one new man, of the one new body.
Amen.
That's the gospel of peace, isn't it? Look at chapter 6. And I'll be closing it up because I know time is up on my side now. Is that right, Barnes? Yes. Chapter 6. And here's to Mike's point about being prepared. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of grace?
No.
Peace. The gospel of peace. That's the gospel that you and I preach.
Amen.
It's the mystery. It's the one that says this is the one new man. It's the one that says ye are complete in him. There, because that same gospel is the one that where Paul prays, or asked to be prayed, so that he may boldly speak it. Look in verse 19. And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now that mystery we know is that same gospel that he preached as a prisoner. Verse 20 says, for which I am ambassador in bonds. In prison, right? So, it's one that, yes, we may very well suffer persecution for. And yes, we need to be prepared. And we need to pray to God. We need to make sure that we see opportunities as such. That we understand the peace. That we plumb the depths of what that is. Haven't sure plumbed the depths of what that piece is, and there's a lot more. This is only but a teaser. You know, that we're encouraged, that we're exhorted to plumb even more what that is. And so, not much more that I want to add to that, except to tell you that love you all, and that definitely was a blessing. God has something in store for each and every one of us as individuals, collectively, and we need to endeavor to seek him. And he's a big God, and he's a real God.
Amen.
And he works in ways that we just don't understand, but don't need to understand either, do we? Praise God. So we'll close with a word of prayer. If I don't say bye to you, please excuse us. It's just that we need to really rush out immediately after Ronnie speaks. But we love you all. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your tender kindness, Father, for your instruction, for your word, that you can just guide us and share so much with us, Father, that our hearts just bubble. And so, Father, we thank you for that heart just pumping for you and just having so much fervidness for you and your word. Father, that we may just preach that gospel of peace boldly, Father. And so we thank you for all this in the blessed name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.